A reading from the Old Testament book of Joel. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like blackness spread upon the mountains. A great and powerful army comes. Their like has never been from of old, nor will be again after them in ages to come. Yet, even now, says the Lord, return to me with all of your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and relenting from punishment. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Consecrate the congregation, assemble the aged, gather the children, even the infants at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her canopy between the vestibule and the altar. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not make your heritage a mockery, a byword among the nations. Why should it be said among the peoples, where is their God? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Old Testament lesson reading from Isaiah. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, and to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask for me righteous judgments. They want God on their side. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. You fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is the fast that I choose a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is it not the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry out for help, and he will say, here I am. If you remove the yoke from among yourselves, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom will be like noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose water never fails. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt, and you shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to live in. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Every year, Ash Wednesday is a solemn occasion which demands our utmost seriousness. The mood is urgent, and the message is hortatory. It's always clear that something significant is at stake. Sound the alarm, the prophet Joel says. I read that and I thought immediately of being awakened by the civil defense sirens during yesterday morning. The sounds of those sirens usually ring on Wednesdays, but as the high winds were coming in on Monday morning, the alarm bells began to go off, and in my deep slumber, I thought to myself, oh, it's only Wednesday at noon, keep sleeping. And then my wife, Irie, hit me, and we were up and going. Sound the alarm. Blow the trumpet. Shout, Isaiah says. It's serious business. The nation is in crisis. The people are in peril. The words of the prophet speak somberly and soberly. That is the case every Ash Wednesday. It is especially the case this Ash Wednesday. The trump is sounded. The assembly is called. The prophets of old speak to us yet again. The great biblical scholar Walter Brueggemann says that the task of the prophet is to speak the words of truth amidst a culture of lies, lamentation and mourning amidst denial, and hope amidst despair. These prophets tonight summon us once more to speak the truth, to name and lament loss, and to proclaim hope even when there seems to be no hope. Perhaps now we'll listen. Perhaps now we can hear the truth, overcome the denial, and resist the temptation to despair. First, the truth. We are being lied to. We know this every day and in every way. We live in a culture of lies. It is the disinformation age. Up is down, left is right, evil is good, and the assailed are attacked as if they are the assailants. There is temptation to just shake our heads and say, all that anyone ever does anymore is lie. We can't believe anything from anyone. Beloved, that is exactly what the liars want us to think. The German-American historian and philosopher Hannah Arendt, who studied Nazi totalitarianism, said that all the ubiquitous lying of that iniquitous regime was meant not so much to get people to believe the lies, but to doubt the truth. The lies are meant to get us to doubt the very essence of truth, to say that there is no such thing as truth, to absolve ourselves from standing up and for the truth. There is a such a thing as truth. And we must be bold to insist that it be told. We must be bold to tell it ourselves. In a world of wickedness and lies, we have to be truth tellers. We have to stand for truth. We have to believe in truth. We have to be followers of the one who said that he is the truth. And as Steve Shoemaker used to say around here every week in his benediction, the world is too dangerous for anything but the truth. Of course, many do not want to hear or deal with truth, and so they deny it. And I suppose that denial has its place. It keeps us from being emotionally overwhelmed. But stay there too long and things begin to get deadly, literally. So many diseases go so long before being diagnosed because people are in denial about the symptoms. And now I'm afraid many are in denial about the kinds of cuts that could be coming to their health care coverage or the coverage of someone they love. Denial can and will be deadly. And I'm sad to say that religion can often serve as a distraction that aids the denial. Marx was right about this. Religion does often serve as an opiate of the masses, and worship today in many places has become a kind of narcotic of distraction. I remember our Duke professor, Peter Story, who worked very closely with Desmond Tutu during the era of apartheid and was in fact a subject of an assassination plot along with Tutu, used to say how frustrated he was with the Pentecostal church in South Africa because of its almost absolute denial of the severity of the circumstances facing their own people. He said that Pentecostals were the only ones he knew who could wave their hands in the air while at the same time burying their heads in the sand. Ash Wednesday refuses to let us anesthetize ourselves in denial and distraction. It doesn't let us say peace, peace, where there is no peace. Ash Wednesday says there is a problem with our people, and it is profound. It will cost lives and livelihoods. It will end in unnecessary death. It must be confronted. The things that are being threatened to the basic social security net of our society must be confronted. The things that are being threatened at our world and our world order must be named. They cannot be denied. The trump has sounded, and we must awaken. We must be alarmed by what we are hearing and do what we did when we heard those alarms going off yesterday morning. Get up and get out of bed and act. And in the context of our faith, we must believe we are here to be reminded that God will act also. In fact, we as people of faith believe that God is already acting, already at work to redeem us and this world for the sake of the salvation of all human and animal alike. That is what this night is all about. Ash Wednesday is really about radical hope. We put dirt on our faces and tell each other we are going to die. Have a nice dinner. A terminal diagnosis. This is some radical truth-telling. But we do it in a spirit of radical hope. Even hope against hope. Yes, we are going to die. Newsflash. But our radical hope against all hope tells us that death is not the end. Though we die, yet we shall live. And so life really is worth the living and the striving and the acting and the fighting for. We recognize our mortality. We acknowledge our grave circumstances, but we also proclaim our faith in a God who can raise us up from the grave, make a way out of no way, and breathe the spirit of life back into the dry dust of death. Even Lubbock kind of dust, which blew in this week. Desperare is the Latin word we have for despair. It literally means to lose all spirit. These are desperate times. But these are not times to despair or lose all spirit. These are times for esperare, which means to wait We wait, and we hope, and we act, and we place our faith in our God, whom we believe is with us and for us, and we trust will act and is already acting for us also. Yes, we grieve, Paul says, but we do not grieve as those who have no hope. We grieve what is going on in this world. We lament so much of it, but we do not do so as those without all hope, and even a hope against all hope. This is something for us to remember. No matter how desperate the situation may be for us in our own lives, either personally or communally, we hold on to our hope. We hold on to our spirit. We keep it alive. In the Joel text, the city is soon to be surrounded. An enemy is encroaching, and it is a desperate time. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, the text says. Thought about these desperate times in Ukraine when I read that text. There is hard truth here. And the diagnosis is very, very bad. And yet the prophet says, even now, blow the trumpet, call the assembly, consecrate the people, because even now, God may still act and the city be saved. Even now, God may still act and the nation be spared. Even now, God is acting that the world can be redeemed. Sound the alarm. Blow the trumpet. Lament the losses. And hold on to your hopes. For even now, God may still yet intervene. May it be so. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, Mother of us all, and together all of God's people do say, Amen.